Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. By SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, buddy, we got one day left for March Madness really gets kicked off. I know Texas, they're about to play here in about 2 hours as of recording, so hopefully they win so they're in the tournament, but are they really in? You know, for everybody, it starts Thursday, right?
Yes.
All right, well, that's a perfect segue, way to contribute there, Shane, to our sponsorship here with MyBookie, presenting sponsor of the show this March Madness, Shane. We're trying to get people to, hey, these games are a lot better when you put some money on the line. You know what I'm saying? So head on over to MyBookie.ag today, and most importantly, put in that promo code, that SEC, THATSEC as your promo. And what's that going to get you, Shane? MyBookie, for all first-time depositors, willing to give you a 50% instant deposit match. So let's say you could just put $20 in there. They're going to give you 10 free to play with, all the way up to 1,000. If you put in 1,000, they're going to give you 500. So you can have $1,500 for all you high rollers like Cousin Shane out there over at mybookie.ag, the online sportsbook. Most importantly, that promo code, that SEC. Are you ready for the madness, Shane? And
hell yeah, I'm ready. Like you said, Texas and Xavier, you may have trouble finding True TV, but by God, you put a hundo on there, you're gonna be glued to the very end. So
right.
I love it. March Madness is it's full go right now, brother.
Well, here's where I was going with that. You're just so excited. I totally get it. But I don't know. You're a lot like me. Are you more excited about the basketball, or are you more excited about the spread you're going to be enjoying while you're eating? Because that, to me, every year I'm like, all right, I try not to cheat too bad on the diet, but I'm like, man, I may get a pizza, I may get some cookies. I don't know. I'm always excited for March Madness.
No, man, you know me. I'm a lean, mean fight machine, brother. I got time for that spring outside. I got to get ready for that summer bod. So. But hey, I will speaking of spread, did you see the Masters? You can now order food, the food that they serve, the potatoes, the egg salad, the barbecue, the whole nine yards. So if you want to watch basketball with good food, there's a good place to look for it right there, brother.
So safe to say you're going to the Masters this year.
No, I keep getting rejected. I keep doing the application. I got a reminder every year. You know, I keep trying to make myself look poorer and poorer, you know? So maybe it's like, maybe they'll just be like, come on, we'll help this kid out, you know? But no, they have rejected me every single time.
Okay. Well, maybe next year.
Background checks. You think that's what that is?
I think for Cousin Shane, I think they're definitely doing that.
A quick googs, and they're just like, no, we can't have this cat on the sideline. Nobody'd be watching the game. They'd be like, who is that monumental man there?
Well, because it's March Madness time, yeah. Shane, I just thought we could start with a show topic that could hit on a lot of SEC teams, all right? So wrap your head around this. Who is going to be Cinderella in the SEC this fall? And how am I defining that? I'm looking at Indiana last year.
Yeah.
Now, we could debate, and we have debated, should they have been in the playoff? Who knows? Probably not. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Indiana, their over-under win total was 5.5 heading into last season. So I got a list here, Shane, of it. We got four teams in the SEC.
Yes.
That have a win total similar to Indiana leading up to last season. So, but we're projecting ahead for this year.
Right.
So which one of these teams most likely to make a Cinderella run, not to win the national championship, but just to make the playoff?
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we got, don't answer just yet. I know you love to, you get so fired up about these
there
topics.
They are. That's the one.
We got four candidates here.
Yes.
We got, and I'm going to throw up our schedules while we do this. We got Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Their over-under is 5.5. So it'd be identical to Indiana. And again, this, if I'm a Razorback fan, that's giving me some hope here that if Indiana could do it, hell, we know we got a better team in damn Indiana. Problem is, you don't have Indiana's cupcake schedule. But that's neither here nor there. So Arkansas, 5.5 at your over-under win total. How about Kentucky, Shane? Their over-under win total is 4.5 for the upcoming season. We got Mississippi State. Their over-under win total is 3.5. And then last but not least, I'm just going in alphabetical order here. We got Vanderbilt. Their over-under win total is 4.5 for the upcoming football season. So, Shane, which team most likely to make a Cinderella-type run? Arkansas, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt, and make the upcoming college football playoff?
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one because I'm actually kind of making this a Cinderella team in basketball as well. And I'm looking at you, Razorbacks. This is tough. I mean, this is obviously Cinderella. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but when I'm looking at a team that may be outside the bubble that has a chance, it's got to have the dude. And don't get me wrong, I love Pavia. I think he's fantastic. I love everything he's done there in Nashville. But the dude of this four, the one that's got the highest ceiling, is Talen Green. Give me them Razorbacks. I feel like this is a kid that's going to take a huge step forward this season. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying the path is easy. But people look at Notre Dame as a shoe-in loss. People look at Tennessee as a shoe-in loss. Ole Miss early in the season as a shoe-in loss. There's a real chance, when we talked to Todd the other day about this, there's a shot that Arkansas may be looking at 4-0 going into that Notre Dame game. And that's a tall glass of water. But right now, man, I've got all my chips on the Razorbacks in this grouping.
Ooh, I like that pick, Shane, and I'll tell you why. Everything you said, I mean, we all know you're the smart cousin. But looking at it this way too, Shane, with at Memphis on the schedule, you talked about Notre Dame. If you can beat those teams, and hell, I mean, I don't think that's like that big of a stretch. I know Notre Dame just made the playoff, but this ain't last year's Notre Dame. They've lost a lot of talent.
Yep.
If you're able to beat those teams, in the SEC, we'll forgive you for dropping a conference game here or there. So yes. Certainly, we're not saying Arkansas has to go undefeated. Hell, I think even playing Notre Dame, you know, 10-2. I think Arkansas's in. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it affords you opportunities to potentially lose. So I like that pick. I also, real quick, Shane, I like this pick even more. We can't even call this man a Cinderella. He's more of a dynasty. JR is back, Shane.
Come
He's
on, gifted cuz.
5 memberships. Let's see. We got Feral Hogman. he loves it. We got Andrew. We got Gray God. We got Charles. And we got Freedom Underground. All of y'all, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy
you, JR.
Of the legend JR, who he's in my Final Four. You know what?
Oh, absolutely. I want to pick it. Everybody got their brackets in, I hope, you know, because that's cranking up. So JR's probably going to win that one too.
Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes so people can join us. I think I'm going to give a little prize too to the winner here. So, but also in my Final Four, Shane, he's heating up. He's been gifting. He's like a JR Jr. over here. Horton hears you. He just gifted a membership.
Hell
Shane,
yeah, Horton. Thank you.
To Kevin Miller. Kevin, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of Horton hears you. Big Texas fan. We got to give him a horns up for that one, Shane. You know what?
I keep thinking of Dr. Seuss every time I say that one, I just think of that movie, you know, and those little characters.
All right. So, hey, you're going with Arkansas.
I'm going with Arkansas.
It's the wrong answer though, buddy.
I know. I know who you're going with.
Come on, the Commodores. And here's why I love him, Shane. Obviously. I did all this damn research. It's got to be for something. Number one, offensive returning production in the SEC. 80% back on offense. And I love the fact that, number one in defense too, Shay. 75% of our returning production on the defensive side of the football. Both of those lead the conference. We took such a huge step last season. We went from 2-7. We can go to 7-10. Come on. Come on, Vanderbilt. I know you can do it. And same deal with them. Who knows? Virginia Tech, maybe that's by the end of the year, maybe that's a quality win in itself that'll help the resume. So again, is this likely to happen? Probably not. But you're asking me who's a Cinderella. You knock off Tennessee, that's easy. You knock off Texas, that's probably, yeah, I mean, that's a pick 'em right there. You just beat one or two of these elite teams, Alabama. Hell, you already beat Alabama. All of a sudden, we're looking at a Vanderbilt team that has got the resume. If they can go 10-2, which, again, I'm not saying it's very likely, but of all these teams, I think they've already taken the jump. Now can they take that next step? Shay, they got a new stadium. Come on, that's going to fire up them Commodores. You know what?
Well, it's just the fact that we saw what they did last year. You know, at the end of the year, was there an SEC football team that was excited to play Vanderbilt like we have been the last 30 years? No, mm-mm. Nobody wants to play them Commodores. And guess what? They all came back. So, that's a good pick. And that would have been my second option. I feel like if there's going to be a team that makes a run, like I said, it's got to be from the quarterback. And I think two of the best reside in Arkansas and Vanderbilt for sure.
Hey, Cousin Oliver says, this ain't Rudy's Notre Dame.
Yeah, no touchdown Jesus with this team, you know?
And then shout out Cousin Bunky. He said, my wife, not a listener by choice, just did the welcome to the family thing with y'all. That's awesome. All right, so, hey, I got one other Cinderella. I want to involve a little bit more teams, right?
Yeah.
And the way I kind of am breaking this one down, this may be hard to wrap your head around for the cousins out there, but you remember 2019 LSU.
Yeah.
It's recognized now as one of the greatest teams ever. I think it may be the best college football team ever assembled with Joe Burrow and all the weapons he had, and the defense was no slouch either.
Yeah.
But they were not even predicted to win their division. So their story changed during the season. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, And again, LSU 2019, maybe not the best example, because I'm not asking you who could be the best team of all time, but I'm just looking at it like not currently projected to make the playoff, not projected to be one of the elites in the SEC. And the way I figured this, Shane, was these are the teams with the best odds to win the national championship in the SEC.
Yeah.
Texas, Georgia. I'm just going in order here. Tennessee, Alabama, and LSU. Mm-hmm. So I think if any of those teams won the national championship, I don't think people would be like stunned.
Right.
Would you buy into that logic?
If you ask the fan bases, they're expecting to be in playoffs anyway. So no, I would buy into that.
All right. So then to go along with the Cinderella, this is not to make the playoff. This is to make a miracle run that nobody sees coming to win the national championship. You got to pick one of these teams, Shane. We got Ole Miss, 25-1 odds to win it all. Texas A&M, 30-1 odds to win it all. South Carolina, 40-1 odds to win it all. Florida, 50-1 to win it all. Auburn, 60-1. Oklahoma 75-1, or your Missouri Tigers 100-1 to win it all. If there's a Cinderella national championship out of that list, real quick, Ole Miss, A&M, yep, South Carolina, Florida, Auburn, Oklahoma, or Missouri, who's Shane's Cinderella?
Oh, Mike, I know you hate this guy to the bottom of your heart. You will never, never allow Hugh Freeze into your heart.
National champion. We didn't even make a bowl game.
but Mike, that's not the answer. It's Ole Miss. Give me Ole Miss Rebels. Auburn was close. Don't get me wrong, but the reason I'm going with Ole Miss is because of what you just put on the screen, the schedule. I think Ole Miss is walking away with one of the best schedules in the SEC to build those signature wins so that they have an opportunity to get into that playoff spot. You know, last year did not go as planned, obviously. I think we talked about the consecutive SEC games. We talked about the losses in Florida. We talked the losses in Kentucky. These are two teams, not to get Hugh Freeze-esque, but I felt like if they were to play multiple times, we probably would have different outcomes. And this is a team that's kind of getting slept on a little bit. Everybody's talking about the four that you mentioned earlier. you still gotta give credit to where credit's due. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin has been consistent and consistently a fringe playoff team. And all you gotta do, Mike, is get in the dance. And then once you get there, as you know, with college basketball, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Michael Riley says, "I look like a part-time golfer who tells you he's a pro." That's pretty funny. No, I like that. I like that pick, Shane. Ole Miss, and hell, you go 10-3.
Yeah,
the fact that that's like a huge disappointment.
Seriously,
that lets you know how far the program's come. You know what?
I feel like I'm cheating picking this one, Mike. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this shouldn't even been on the list. And honestly, if they weren't, I think that would have been a tougher question for me because Ole Miss kind of stood out there for me.
But maybe.
I know the returning production's a problem, but that's what they've created down there. And you're kind of just betting that Lane Kiffin brought in enough talent to be competitive with that schedule. And I really do think, man, I don't know if it's – I hate to take stuff that Lane Kiffin says in the offseason serious, but there's something about it. You know, there is just an – There's a little of that in the air. You know what I'm saying? A little frustration out there to know what he did have. I feel like he knows that this has got to be the season. So there's going to be a little bit more urgency. And the kids, I feel like, I don't know, man. I just feel good about it. I feel good about Ole Miss this year. I'm wearing Ole Miss colors, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and they're sleeping on Austin Simmons nationally.
Yeah.
Not down there. I mean, some people down there at practice, Shane, are saying.
Yeah.
This guy might be better than Jackson Dart. And Jackson Dart may be a first-round pick here in a month or whatever the draft is. So that's not to say Jackson Dart's like a bad player or anything, but that may be. And this will be a real measuring stick for the organization, the program, all that, for Lane Kiffin and company. And one thing you didn't mention, all the pressure, they put it on themselves with Last Dance and all the chips are on the table, all this, we're playoffs or bust every week. Now, without that expectation, without that pressure, maybe they're even better. I saw someone else say it like this. Tennessee never could win it with the old Peyton Manning, Shane. They were supposed to, right?
Yeah.
They won it the very next year with T. Martin, who no one saw that come. Maybe that's the one I should, not 2019 LSU, 1998 Tennessee. That's what I should have said.
I said that a couple of times with Tennessee. I kept trying to use, it's not, 98. So, but yep. you are correct. And I feel like maybe a less pressure, less talking, let's not talk about SEC championships. Let's just talk about next week. I know us talking heads like that as far as, clips and what we could talk about on the show. But truthfully, I think Lane Kiffin needs to be focused one week at a time. And if they are dialed in with that schedule, there's no reason they can't be in a running for a playoff spot.
Well,
You're wrong.
Speaking of a team you can't stand because they make you exercise. Give me them Gators, Shane. Oh. Come on, Dan. This is the pick right here. Of a team that could, heck, they were hot as you could get as any team that didn't make the college football playoff last year, winning four games to close it out, pushing Georgia till DJ Lagway went down. Now, here's the problem, of course. I still don't really trust old Billy Dave here. So can we work around it? He's saying the same thing he said last offseason. This is the best roster we've had yet. It certainly didn't look like that right out the gate. But now they're saying, hey, this roster is even better, Shane. If you thought 2024 was good, wait till you get to 2025. So I don't know, man. I just think DJ Lagway, fingers crossed, he is healthy as can be. And this spring they're limiting him. That's just a precaution. Come on. He's the golden child. Or who is the guy? There was some quarterback you were always anointed as the golden boy or something like that. DJ Lagway is my golden boy. You know what I'm saying?
The golden goose.
The golden goose. There you go. He's the golden goose. I think DJ Lagway, again, I hope I'm not overhyping him, but what little we saw of him late in the season, if he can carry that over and Florida's even better, man, I think Florida, again, I'm not predicting it, But I'm saying if there's one team that's going to come out of nowhere to be into college football, maybe win the whole damn thing, give me them Gators.
I swear, you and this Gator love. Is this what I sounded like with Mizzou last 2 years?
I think so.
I feel like I got to take a shower every time we do a show, Mike. And get the hell out of here. Now, I get it. Florida's going to be better. I totally agree. But the schedule, we talked about it. That's the main reason I'm not having them in this race. I feel like there's some other teams that have got an easier path. Can I bring up Auburn? I know I don't like to pick. You know me, Mike. I like to pick a couple. But can we do sure. Auburn here? Because this was the other one I was very, very close to doing. And I know you freeze hasn't had the success that Mike wants or the fact Auburn fans want.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do take that step forward and they did find their quarterback and they did find a recipe to make this thing work, I really do feel like Auburn could be a sneaky team because say what you want, Mike. There were a lot of games, a lot of losses last year that were close. Okay. Yep. Now, I'm not saying that. I mean, what do they say? Horseshoes and hand grenades. That's all it counts for, right?
Right.
But if those would have went the other way, we would have been talking about how successful Hugh Freeze was down there on the plains year two. So, but I can't make excuses for him. I absolutely can't, because especially as much shit as I gave him, you know, every time he took the stand here. But I got to say this, Mike, there's just something about this team that feels special. I love how aggressive they were in the portal. I love this the continuity of finally we've got some normalcy, it feels like, on the plains, and I think it pays dividends. So this is a ball club that playoff. I mean, we're talking Cinderella kind of thing. I think it'd be tough for them just to make a playoff, but if they do, it's because that this young team developed similar to your Florida team did last year. Catch fire at the end of the season, and that's a dangerous team in any playoff situation.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think you might just be a year early.
Yeah,
on the Auburn, if that makes
premature
sense.
Shane. Here it goes. Sounds like my wife's on the show again.
But college football, SEC football is just better when Auburn is around.
Yeah,
and knocking off some of these teams that they're not supposed to beat. Like, I mean, hell, the greatest game of all time, maybe the kick six. You know what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you got to have a little lady luck on your side. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's like in this little bubble that you're in, that's what these teams are going to need, a couple of breaks to go their way.
Stephen Up says, Freeze looking like he's trying to pinch a loaf for it.
Yeah.
Cousin Ollie says, Shane, you need some joy mode.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, I mentioned the kick six. Of course, the week, 2 weeks prior was the prayer of Jordan Hare. So let's go down to Georgia, Shane, where, again, I made these comments before. I'm sticking to them until further notice. Kirby really is kind of like, I mean, we can't call him the new Saban.
Right.
Because he's not earned that yet. But he is kind of like the sports Saban. Now, there's no one else you kind of go to for you know, you want to hear what they got to say because they're always on top of it. He's got the best program in the country. But, buddy, he was on one. He's not happy down here in Athens. And you remember how Nick Saban used to go out here and, like, dog cuss the media?
Yeah.
But he's really talking to his team. Here's old Kirby. He was on a heater over here.
Yeah, Coach, how was the first week of practice, and what were your initial takeaways?
Long way from good. We are work in progress. We have the least number of players who have gone through 3 spring practices since I've been here. So that should tell you something. I asked the guys to stand up who have practiced at least 3 spring practices. So this obviously would make their 4th, and there was basically nobody standing. We have a very young, inexperienced group. We really can't practice to our standard because they're all tired. So like, we go to practice and it's like great energy, great in shorts, guys learn what to do. And then we start going and it's like, they can't go. I'm tired. So we got to do a better job getting them in shape. We got to probably simplify some to get guys just to go play and not be thinking out there, but a lot of young players. And I need the older players. I mean, old to me is year 2, year 3, that's old. to lead the year one guys. Because I feel like half the roster is in their first season at Georgia. Not necessarily their first season of college, but their first season at Georgia. And that's, it's been tough. So we got a long way to go, but I am optimistic. We do have good kids and they do work hard.
And I can't remember when we started calling Saban Papaw, but we're getting close with Kirby because it's damn fire and brimstone down there. We're out of shape. Heaven forbid if he sees us, you know, I don't even think he'd want to see us on the practice field. You know what?
You know what he's saying though? If you read between the lines, he's saying, I need these old guys on my team to tell these young guys to grow the F up. I'm not saying that's exactly, I mean, obviously he said it in coach speak, but it really feels like there's a difference between playing sore and there's a difference between playing hurt. You know, are you hurt? You've heard that whole, that thin line. And it feels like this younger generation, that line keeps going a little bit further to the softer side. And I'm just saying that's what it feels like. You know, they don't have a big tight end that everybody loves out there playing with, you know, half a leg. No, he's in the NFL making some money right now, but they need some of those guys to stand up and say, hey man, are you hurt? Are you sore? You know?
Right. Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head, Shay, because we got one more. He says some of these guys are damn offended to be coached hard. I never heard of a thing such as this.
You know, needing to get guys to step up. Is it hard to get that out of guys when they maybe haven't been here as long? And do you guys as coaches feel a need to coax out of them, or is it just something that has to happen pretty naturally as things go along?
No, we have to coach it. I mean, that's what they get. That's what they pay us to do, to coach them. They have to be willing to receive coaching. And on the whole, my whole preach after the practice was, we got a lot of guys that put their hands up. They're offended when you coach them. I'm not talking about the freshmen. I'm talking about in general. So we had multiple NFL coaches come through here, go to practice, and, you know, they talk about how their players love to be coached. They'd love to be given a nugget, a technique that might help them play longer or play better. And some of our guys are offended by it. It's like, you're coaching me hard? Like, you're telling me I got to play with effort? And some of them, I guess, have never been held to that standard. But that standard is not going to change here.
The standard ain't going to change. I bet you can relate to this. You got a young daughter. Yeah. If you were out there coaching her, would she be offended?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one time my grandfather, Pee Wee League, he came out there and he coached us, and he yelled at me and made me run a lap. That's Pee Wee. But I still, maybe if I was 20 years old, I still do it. But I cried the entire time as I went around there like, why'd Papaw do that? You know, embarrass me in front of my friends. So, no, these kids are, I'm the old man. I'm turning into a Papaw, Mike. You know what I'm saying? I got one out here, 16 years old, knows everything. I mean, she's figured it out. I can only imagine what she's going to be at 18 to 19 and what Kirby's having to deal with. And the bad thing is, he ain't going to hear this because they ain't watching YouTube. You got to put it in a Snapchat or a TikTok. So we're going to break it down so they can find it here in 2 days.
Does this give you any cause for concern, though, that it's, I mean, you know, put these clips together. What's he saying? This is a young team. There's no one here that's been through three springs. And then he's saying, well, hell, these guys can't even take the coaching. Now, I know it's early. They'll get with the program or they won't get on the damn field down in Athens. But I don't know. Does this at all lower the expectation for not for Georgia and what they're wanting to be, but for what your expectations are for Georgia?
A little bit, because they've got that mystique of the big bad boys, you know, just the ones that are going to come out here and beat the shit out of you. And to do that, they got to do it together. And I feel like right now Kirby is trying to find maybe multiple ones on this football team to lead, because the coaches can only do so much. The coaches can only get you so far. It's going to have to be someone that's in that huddle, in that locker room saying, hey, it's time to man up and let's play some Georgia ball. And these kids, these, you know, these freshmen on there, they don't know the standard. They don't know the expectations. And I feel like this learning curve, it sounds like it's a little tough, but I'd rather you figure it out now in spring and have it dialed in by the time we get to fall. So, yeah, I think Kirby's just looking for some leaders right now.
Yeah, and also in the press conference, you know, he was asked about it, and he basically said, hey, it, it's every damn freshman. They ain't ready for this.
Yeah.
No. And but he also says, well, how could they be? Because there's no high school in the world that practices as hard as we do down here. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's some understanding there. He wasn't just all fire and brimstone, but I thought this was pretty awesome how he's coming out. It's March 19th here. Kirby's fired up about how out of shape his team is already. You know what?
Well, this is what we said at the end of the season last year and why this team didn't hit the expectations that we had on them. And it felt like a little bit of it was physicality, you know, wasn't able to establish the run, wasn't able to stop the run. You know, it wasn't Georgia football. And I think Kirby wants it to come back. I think the fans want it to come back. And if it's going to hurt some feelings along the way, so piss on them.
Yeah. Geez, Luis says Kirby. I bet you can't TikTok around Kirby. No. And he notes Heupel's pro TikTok. I think Shane agrees with that statement, if I had to guess.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, it sounds like they need some workers down there, Shane. You know what?
Yeah.
And what they got to do, Shane, you know what Kirby should do?
Lace them up.
Yeah. Head on over to bruntworkwear.com/SEC. bruntworkwear/SEC. Use that SEC at the checkout, Shane, to get 10% off your order over at Brunt Workwear. What is this, Brunt? Shane, this is outstanding work boots. They sent me a pair over. They got Shane a pair on the way. They are the most comfortable work boots you will ever own, Shane. You can, and what I love about them, you can customize them. You can get waterproof, non-waterproof, a soft toe, a steel toe, pull up, lace up, however you want them, Shane, over at Brunt, bruntworkwear.com/SEC for $10 off your full order. I may have to get a day job as a laborer, Shane, now that I got these. I mean, I feel like I'm man enough to do it now with these damn boots on.
Yeah, I caught myself doing a little work outside today in them, you know. sizing up if I need new gutters or not.
Well, another guy, Shay, that I know loves Brunt is old Mike Yoko. Because they love hard work down there in College Station, Shane. And cheers to Mike Yoko, because we're having a spring game. He ain't buying all the bullshit from all these other coaches.
Hey, Mike, yeah, a lot of talk about the future of spring games and spring practice. Do you have any thoughts on where you think this are going or where you'd like to see it's going with A&M perspective?
Yeah, all right, let's get into year two. We know each other now a little bit, right? So I think that I would always challenge people to read into what people are saying and try to figure out whether it's actually makes sense. I think there's two different elements of this. There's some teams who played real long seasons, and I think there's a reality to having to redefine what your next offseason looks like with the extended playoff and how many games some teams are playing. I think that's real. This thought of people recruiting off your roster or some of those things, I'm not buying some of that stuff. And so we'll continue to have a spring game until we make it to the semifinals, and then we'll rediscover kind of what our offseason looks like.
He ain't buying their bullshit, Shay. That's what I heard from old Coach Elko.
That's it, man. But this is, again, kind of, you're seeing it with a couple of these coaches. Some of these hard-nosed coaches that they'll come out and tell you, this is a team that also wants to be physical, you know, mm-hmm. and to be physical, to be dominant, especially in those trenches, you just got to come, man. I shouldn't have said it like that. You just got to be there. You know what I'm saying? You got to be completely dialed in. You got to be ready. There's no days off. And I love it. I embrace the spring game. Ain't no softies down in College Station.
Right. And you know, he's a Ivy League graduate, I think, from one of them schools. So one of them smart schools. I don't even know who's in the Ivy League.
We have something in common.
Yeah, there you go. But I love the fact that he's not, because what you just said, I agree 100% with. But also he says, you know, he doesn't mention Texas by name, but that is something Sarkisian has said. Hell, we just had a wild long run. You know, our guys are still beat up from the expanded playoff and playing conference championship and on and on and on. Yeah, so, I mean, it is a case by case. So, again, when I say these coaches are all cowards for not doing it, I don't think Sarkisian fits in that mold. But I think basically the rest of them do.
Nebraska? Nebraska,
certainly. You know who started this whole damn thing. But, yeah, so just the flexibility, the understanding that, you know, maybe a spring game. And hell, you could still have a spring game. I don't care. I don't like the fact Texas not doing it. I don't care that they had a long, just do an exhibition. You know what I mean? Like, do something for the fans. But I like the fact that he's flexible in understanding that the game is changing, so you have to adapt as well. But if you didn't play in damn mid-January, you should be having a damn spring game.
Yeah, I totally agree with you here. And I think if you did play in January, you should have one. Maybe, you know, again, you don't have to play them the entire game. You could play one quarter. You could play some. You could. We really don't care about seeing the old people. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, we're talking year two, three. We want to see the freshmen. We want to see the kids that weren't playing in January and see if we should be excited about the kid that transferred in or not. So I there's a lot of people on that roster, a lot of players on that roster. You could field 11 on 11 of something and be entertaining. So, yeah, I'm not defending any of these coaches.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I wanted to highlight also from what he said here, Shane, A&M, 15th in the SEC in returning receiving production. They had a lot of guys go to the draft. And, of course, Noah Thomas transferred over to Georgia. So we got Terry Bussey back, but basically everybody else is new for A&M. And Mike Elko was asked about, you know, to run down all the transfers. I'm not going to play it all, but just him talking about adding receivers and tight ends and what they liked in each of these guys. I thought this was some pretty revealing stuff on the new weapons for Marcel Reed down there in College Station.
We lost some upperclassmen in the tight end room. That was another big area that we wanted to be able to go out and address. And so that started with Nate Borkature from Nebraska and Michael Riley Ducker from Auburn, two kids that I think are a little bit bigger body profiles. I think maybe do a little bit more setting the edge, physical point of attack blockers, also athleticism to run routes, but I think are more of those combo tight ends that maybe we felt like we needed and didn't quite have at times last year. And then late, we were able to add Amari Nyblock, who, you know, we think has kind of unlimited potential as a pass catcher, had a really, really good year 2 years ago at Alabama with Coach Wiggins when Coach Wiggins was there as the wide receiver coach. You know, got caught on the depth chart a little bit last year at his previous school. And so bringing him over, I thought, was something that was really helpful. And then a wide receiver, we wanted to go out and we wanted to get a couple athletic difference makers, and I think we did that. Casey Concepcion's a kid who I'm familiar with from when I was at Duke. He was at NC State, had an electric freshman year, you know, had a really good sophomore year, was looking for a place to maybe get onto a bigger stage and was able to come here and do that. Mario Craver, if you ask any of our corners, they'll tell you he was the toughest cover that we had last year. He's got tremendous speed and quickness and twitch, and so excited that we were able to go out and get him. And then we were able to pick up Jonah Wilson late, a kid from the University of Houston who brings a little bit of a size element to us.
All right, Shane. So that's he's breaking down the tight ends and receivers they got. And I really wanted to highlight that for another reason, because you see all these quarterback rankings. Hell, we do them. Everybody does them. But one you don't you see always at the bottom is Mr. Marcel Reed. And I here's his stats. Again, they're not fantastic, but they're not awful either, Shane. I mean, 61% completion percentage, over 1,800 passing yards, 547 rushing yards, 15 passing touchdowns, 7 rushing touchdowns. Now, the problem is he had 6 picks, and all 6 came in the last 5 games, and he had at least one per game to close out the last 5. But how concerned, if at all, maybe you're not concerned at all, are you that Marcel Reed is the guy and having to be that with essentially an entirely new receiving core?
A little bit, but I don't think the pressure is as high as some of these other kids. You know, you look at, I think of Nico coming into last season. This is a kid that we talked about the year prior, probably more than we did Joe Milton. And when he got the opportunity, it felt like we've already put the bar at a certain level. And we have seen excellent games from, I think the LSU, I mean, that was one of the best games I've ever seen a quarterback play. And that bar doesn't feel like it's set as high, which I feel like the expectations, I think he'll exceed them, is what I'm saying. So I don't know. Quarterback room's very psychological. You know, it comes down to a lot of times between your ears. And I feel like the fact that we're not pressuring Marcel Reed to be the best quarterback in the SEC, I feel like that gives him a little bit more room to grow with this new receiving core.
Yeah, and it's easy to highlight what they don't have, but what they do have, Shane, is all five starters on the offensive line and some top running backs back. So the pressure is not, it's not one of these deals where like, oh, Marcel Reed doesn't get us to the playoff, then we can't get there. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to have plenty of help. It's just almost a completely reworked receiving core. And he did highlight Mario Craver, who they got from Mississippi State.
Yeah.
He said, you know, that was one of our toughest guys we had to defend last year. He had 5 catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown against A&M. He only had 17 catches, Shane, 368 yards. But check this out. Against Florida, Craver averaged 20 yards a catch. Against Texas, he only had 1 catch against Texas, but it was a 46-yard catch. And then against Georgia, he averaged 37.5 yards per catch. So clearly this is an explosive weapon that A&M has kind of been like. I know Noah Thomas was kind of that guy last year, but with more touches, conceivably, I don't know why he wasn't getting the ball at Mississippi State, but if he could get more touches, that's exactly what you need in this A&M, especially with their ground and pound.
Yeah.
I have to imagine they're going to run a lot of play action with Mario Craver over the top. You know what?
Oh, for sure. And he was talking too about Niblack. He said he was at Alabama, and then he said previous school. Who was the previous school? Why didn't he mention that one?
Old Texas. Come on.
I thought that was well worded.
Hey, and then one more, Shane. One more coach that's not a coward. I love this. My pick to make the college football playoff. Come on, Clark Lee.
A lot of teams have canceled spring games, and you guys are going to have one. Why did you decide to keep it?
I think it's a great opportunity for our guys to work really hard for 14 practices and earn a 15th where we have a little celebration. I think it's also a great opportunity to connect with our community and our fan base. And I think those things are still important. So I know there's fear of, you know, evaluation, and I'm not going to operate out of fear. You know, we're going to do what we think is best for our program. We're going to put our guys in the best position for them to be successful. And spring games are a great way to wrap up, you know, what is a really tough, you know, sequence of 15 practices.
Not afraid, Shade. That's why I call these other coaches cowards. If Vanderbilt, who's had their roster poached many a time, ain't afraid of being poached, come on. I mean, get with the program. You know what?
Yeah, if you listen when he talks, you could literally hear him building a roster back there.
Yeah, man, he changes his name every time. He says Vanderbilt can't afford the podium. They are literally building it. They don't have a media center there. But they are building it. So hopefully one of these years we can get a Clark Lee clip without a mower, without a crane, without whatever God Seriously. Knows they got over there. You know what?
Just meet in the office somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, go to a local Chili's or something and knock this thing out. There's a lot quieter places in Nashville you can have this meeting.
Yeah, like Hattie B's. They're not far from there. You know what?
Buddy, I'm still suffering from that one. That hot chicken, brother, it was delicious. And you know one thing about Hattie B's, it wasn't one of those that it was like just too hot. You know, sometimes you go somewhere and it's just spices. You're just basically eating spices. This tasted great. And then all of a sudden, as soon as it was done, boy, it livened up at them senses, brother. I was sweating. I was like, I was focused. I was like, don't touch your lips, don't touch your eyes. You know what I'm saying? Oh man, but it was fantastic, brother.
Wait, you said you were sweating, right?
Yeah, I was sweating bullets, brother.
You know why?
Why?
Because you didn't have your Shop Bando. Come on, shopbando.com/SEC for $5 off a starter pack, which is 40% off the entire product. And if had Shane been wearing his Shop Mando. Jay sent us over some product. I think he used it all up on the golf course. But had he had it at Hattie B's, he would not have sweat a drop there. Go check out shopmando.com/SEC. Most importantly, don't forget that promo code SEC over at Shop Mando for $5 off of a starter pack over there at Shop Mando Whole Body Deodorant. I love it when I go to the gym, Shane. I'm no longer the stinkiest guy at the gym. I'm living life well over here.
Yeah, at least he smells good, you know?
Hey, how about this, Shane? I don't have a clip here, but this was fascinating, and I don't know how many people caught this, but shout out Pete Nankos over there on three. He just reported this. So Alabama, you know, they got this heated quarterback competition. Is it going to be Ty Simpson? He's waited his turn, they say. He's due. He was a five-star himself coming up. Or is it going to be the true freshman, Keelan Russell, who's the number one quarterback prospect in the country? Well, Pete Nankos says, hold your horses, folks. Austin Mack, the quarterback that this coaching staff signed at Washington, redshirted him, and then he followed to Alabama. So he's on the roster last year as well. He is a serious contender for the starting job and apparently just had his best practice of camp. But I know it's early in camp, but thoughts on that, Shane? If, you know, is this good for Alabama that maybe this is a three-headed quarterback competition, or is it perhaps bad that, I don't know, that Ty Simpson or Keelan Russell's not running away with this thing already?
Well, I think you want a running away situation, but you know, you want to make sure that you give everybody the right opportunity. This is the right time to do it, Mike. Spring, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. If you can turn heads now, then you earn those reps in the fall, and who knows, you may have that starting job. But, you know, Kalen DeBoer's under some pressure. I don't feel like he's got to win 10 games and go to a playoff, but if he doesn't, there's going to be some damn people in his yard putting for sale signs, you know what I'm saying? And it all starts with the right quarterback. And do you want a quarterback that should have the starting spot, or do you want the quarterback that fits your system the best? And who better than the guy you recruited? So I don't know, man. I'd like the quarterback competition, and this may be a little bit too to those other guys to kind of buy in. You know what I'm saying? That nobody is safe on this team.
Right. And again, this is not calling out Pete Nankos, because I think he does a hell of a job. But who's to say that someone at Alabama didn't tip him off and says, you know what? This guy everybody thinks is number three, he may be the best. You know, what's that do, Shane? Yeah. That keeps him in Tuscaloosa and not in the portal. Because you want three quarterbacks going into the fall, you know? Because should disaster strike, you're right. I mean, the pressure of the world is on Kalen DeBoer's shoulders. And I mean, if anybody loses their starting quarterback, they're probably not going to do much. But again, if you have to, for whatever reason, get down to number two or number three, and they're not ready, man, it could be a nightmare season. So again, I'm not questioning Pete Nankos' reporting, but maybe there could be some of that in there as well. Just basically saying, hey, all three of these guys could play. It's not a two-horse race. You know what?
Yeah, let me fire that out. Pete got paid to say this. Hey, I like, you got to have multiple quarterbacks. Look at the playoffs last year, Mike. You had Tennessee, Georgia, and Texas, right? Mm-hmm. Texas and Georgia lost their starting quarterback, you know, during the season. Tennessee, even at times, you know, he got the concussion and knocked out. There's a lot of SEC teams last year that did not finish the season with the quarterback taking all the reps. So I feel like you got to have two quarterbacks at least. So Bama got three. Let's roll with it. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, how about this one? You shout out Cousin Shane found this clip, but let's jump on down to Baton Rouge, where Putty, all chips on the table, right? They're paying everybody. A year ago, he ain't paying people to come here. Now they're paying everybody to come on down because Brian Kelly is sitting on the hot seat. But one guy that's going to do his damnedest to keep him off the hot seat is former Florida defensive lineman Jack Pyburn. Let's kick it over to Jack.
Right here. I got to watch the video LSU put out when they mic'd you up. You're very vocal. Does that kind of get you going every day? Because you're nonstop, like just running and getting everybody else hyped up. Is that kind of what gets you going?
Yeah, you know, I just I just like being myself. You know, I don't have to fake anything. I just like being who I am, and being who I am is I kind of talk a lot of crap and run around and have high energy, and you know, it's fun. I love football. You know, where else would I rather be? You know, especially now I get paid to play the game I love in college and get a great education at a great school and around amazing people and have all the best facilities. You know, why wouldn't you come to work and be happy? You know, it's special.
Did you get to watch the video from beginning to end? Did you find yourself entertaining?
I did, yeah. Actually, I've been on social media now for like pretty much since I entered the transfer portal. So I re-downloaded everything like the other day and like watched it and reposted some stuff. And it was pretty funny. Yeah, it was awesome.
Why would you want to be at LSU?
Where else would you rather be, you know?
Keep in mind, folks, that old LSU plays them Florida Gators, of course.
That dude looks like Latimer from the program, don't he? Like he's just about to crash his head through a windshield.
Yeah, we always love a little. And again, he's not necessarily trashing Florida, but we're going to take it that way. You know what?
These comments, man. Did he start in Roadhouse? Oh my gosh, I love it, man. He looks like 1990s football. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you just rolled into Nebraska when they were good in the 90s, you saw five of these guys just sitting there doing push-ups.
And also sticking on that theme of LSU, Shane, big news on the recruiting front for the Tigers. Now again, recruiting, long way to go to signing day, but five-star receiver, the number one receiver prospect in the country, Shane, Tristan Keys,
yeah,
committed to LSU today over Tennessee, Alabama, A&M. I thought he was headed to Tennessee, but headed to LSU. Thoughts on that?
Coach Kelly has a tough time holding on to these boys, so we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Does Ohio State know yet?
Hey, one other thing on LSU I wanted to pick your brain on real quick.
Yeah.
So they have loaded up with some offensive transfers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Some on the offensive line, but I'm not really highlighting them. I'm highlighting the pass catchers. Here's some of the guys they got, Shane. Tight end Donovan Green from A&M.
Yep.
Who had a really good freshman year. I believe he was all SEC freshman team. But really, I think 2 years, he's lost for the next season. And I haven't really seen him do anything since. Mm-hmm. Nick Anderson, who was awesome 2 years ago for Oklahoma, scored 10 touchdowns, which is he either broke or tied the all-time Oklahoma freshman touchdown record. But last year, didn't play because he was injured. Shane's all-time favorite, Barry and Brown up there in Kentucky, they're doing cartwheels saying the culture is better because we kicked guys like that out the door. Bower Sharp, tight end from Oklahoma, who Oklahoma fans will tell you they're happy to see his ass gone. And then Destin Hill, who I've never heard of, but he was at Florida State, Shane, 6 catches last year for 87 yards. So, again, I'm not saying like these are all bad guys or they'll never do anything, but do you think it's, I don't know, is it wise to put so many guys together that maybe have done stuff in the past, but maybe not recently, and put all these pieces together? Can you mesh them into an elite offense, you think?
I definitely think so, man. I definitely think so. And one of the thing about some of the guys that you just mentioned, like you mentioned like Barry and Brown was, mm-hmm. was getting passes from Brock Vandergriff. You know what I'm saying? Now he's gotten us in Coach Kelly's system.
Couldn't catch him when they were hitting him.
And I'm just saying, but well, they'll find other ways to get him the football. You know what I'm saying? They'll be creative ways. You're looking at, I saw a grab the other day. I know it's just spring and we do this, but Sharp, another guy that, you know, you just shit on. I felt like, you know, week one, I thought he was going to be a dude. I thought he was going to be a big contributor in that passing game. And then he just disappeared in block land. You know what I'm saying? I feel like now he may have an opportunity to showcase some of his receiving skills down there in LSU. So, because he's not in there trying to protect his quarterback's life, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man, there's a lot of moving pieces that went to LSU, and I like every single one of them because you can't deny that some of these guys they brought in are just absolute freak athletes. Mm-hmm. And you bring enough freak athletes around each other, good things can happen. So as long as the culture, as long as, you know, everybody united front, that's the bad thing. It's like behind the scenes, you got to have some leadership. And I feel like with Nuss coming back, I think that is why LSU has an opportunity to do some special things in 25.
Now, I didn't say anything bad about Bauer Sharp. I'm just saying Oklahoma fans were happy to see him go. And Ben says, last chance of you. and then last one. I thought you'd really appreciate this one, Shane. Shout out. They got a new number 3 down in Columbia, Missouri. Kevin Coleman, the Mississippi State transfer. Should we just start doing something special for the number 3? Here's his idea.
Seen, obviously, we're number 3. I think you were 3 last year at Mississippi State. It's a number that Mizzou fans have seen a lot of the last couple of years. You know, is that something that played any factor into your decision with that number, or just kind of sticking with what were 3 last year?
I know. I'm just sticking with I always were 3. I feel like this is a special number as well. With Luther Burden playing last year, I feel like this is a St. Louis number. I'm going to tell Coach, hey, St. Louis guys got to be in this number.
How about that, Shane? I mean, shout out Coach Drake. I mean, one of the biggest things he's done since coming over to Missouri is kind of plant that flag, keep the guys home, and they consider St. Louis as, you know, priority number 1. I think this is kind of a cool idea to, you know, the elite of the elite from St. Louis get to wear number 3 at Mizzou.
Yeah. Unless you're 350 pounds, you know. Unless, I don't know. Can you wear 3 on the offensive line? You know, I'm thinking about future athletes over there. But, no, I get it. Let's give the wide receivers their due because they get no respect, you know. So let's give the wide receivers everything. No, I'm right there with you, brother. If you're going to establish a pipeline, which they clearly have, I feel like you've got to keep making it special. And if it may be corny to some, but it works for the kids, and that's what you got to do. You got to keep the kids involved. So I like it. I think it's nobody else to do anything like this.
Well, yeah, but to an extent, like LSU, they do like 7. You know what I mean? For,
well, not the local kids, you know.
Well, that's only for Louisiana guys, I think. So, but that's
is
what
that
I mean.
True? I thought yeah. That was voted on by the team. I didn't know it was just
that's 19. So they have they have different ones they do down there, but 7 to my knowledge is just for Louisiana guys. But again, I think if you're doing this and you're Missouri, you're kind of like setting a new standard, a new tradition. And that's what this game's all about, is being elite, starting traditions. You know, there's a lot of things that 10, 20 years ago may have not been traditions that are traditions today. And even that LSU 7, I think it was started by Patrick Peterson. So it's not like LSU's been doing that for 150 years. They've been doing it for 20, 25 years, whatever it is. So, and now it's one of the best in the SEC. So I don't know. I just think this is another way. I mean, if number 3 for Missouri is always making big time plays.
Yeah.
I think I want to go to Missouri and be the next in line and wear that number 3. And I think that could be a cool little tradition.
Golly, Mike, I get smarter every time I get on this show. You're right. I mean, I'm looking at the Honey Badger. I'm looking at Delpit. They're all from New Orleans. So,
yeah.
Damn. I just thought it was like a who's the best guy on defense type thing. Yeah. You know? Well, what about what's his name? The running back, too? So it goes to anybody that's in the state of Louisiana, or is it just New Orleans?
I think it's Louisiana boys.
Oh, good for them.
I think it was. Are you thinking of maybe Geis or no? Fournette. Fournette. Definitely.
Fournette Ward's. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he had to be with that name.
And I think last year was Will Campbell. He's a Louisiana guy. You know what I mean? So.
Damn.
Yeah. It's a thing.
So they stole this, just like Mardi Gras, huh?
Oh, Chili says that Brian Kelly. Man, I hate Brian Kelly. What are you? He change your tradition. Change it. To it used to be best playmaker.
Okay, so it used to be best playmaker, and now it's just I don't know. Now I'm confused. I don't even know if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, because it's Shane Felsen.
Unlearn everything you just learned, Shane. You know what?
Yeah,
that's basketball season anyway. You know what?
Yeah, that's what we do. It's the off season.
We're just making up facts, but Hey, buddy, anything else? We're about to hit an hour here. The tournament's about to kick off for Texas in about an hour.
How bad's Texas win tonight?
11. Give me Texas by 11.
I was thinking double digits. Give me 12. Yeah.
Price 11 is right. 11 is double digits.
No, I know, but I did one more just so I'm right. You know, oh, okay.
Well, anything else, brother, before we hop off the line?
No, man, absolutely not. You know, I mean, obviously have your notifications on. Check the notes or whatever Mike does. We got the slash chance you can be into the tournament.
Yeah.
Shout out to Liquid Flame throwing that one together. We did absolutely nothing for that one. But it's always exciting to get in there and watch Shane win another bracket.
Yep. Well said, my friend. Can't wait for the NCAA tournament. I'm going to be doing a bunch of live reactions after those games take place. And, man, I hope everybody that is into basketball gets to enjoy that. It's one of the best couple of days on the sports calendar, in my opinion. Even if you don't like basketball, it's fun to watch. So, man, I'm ready for it. I hope each and every one of you can tune in if you can. Next couple of days after these games. But I'm rambling, Shane. We appreciate you. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.